You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, Monday through Friday. This is the Wednesday show post-Knicks domination. 110-89, Celtics over the Knicks. Man, do the Knicks suck. We are the Rain and Jays. I'm John Corrales. Sam Jam Packard is at the game in Boston. At the Garden, and there's a lot to talk about on the Celtics side. And today's show brought to you by a new sponsor, Draft.com. It's a brand new thing. It's fantasy basketball, but like daily fantasy basketball, but not like anybody else. And we'll talk a little bit about Draft.com and our game. We're going head-to-head, and you can make a little bit of cash off of this. But there's a lot of fun here to be had on Draft.com. We want to welcome this new sponsor. And let me tell you something. If people were smart, they would have drafted Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown tonight, because those dudes smoked the Knicks. Sam.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have the prerequisite. The Knicks are awful. But the two young guys tonight just were tremendous in everything they did, both on the offensive and defensive end of the floor. I mean, the points, each of them scoring 20 points is going to get the attention. But Jason Tatum finished with four steals, had two blocks, and just was kind of a menace on defense. And Jaylen Brown was switching and basically looked pretty comfortable guarding all five positions. There were a couple of possessions where he was guarding Kristaps Porzingis, who, side note, looked absolutely atrocious tonight, but we can talk about that more later. But to have those two guys just make that impact on the defensive end, on top of both of them scoring 20 points, is fantastic. Jaylen Brown just attacks the rim. Like, every single time he gets the ball, he's looking to attack the rim, and he's coming up with some great finishes, is a lot of strength, just kind of finishing through people. And then for Tatum, it seems like he really got the message of just catch and shoot. And he was knocking down, he had a number of threes tonight. And if he's consistently can knock down threes, he's going to be so dangerous. Because that was like the big knock on him, is that we don't know if he's going to extend to three-point range. It looks like he's pretty comfortable from three-point range, especially from the corner. Both those guys, Brown and Tatum from the corner, if they can do that consistently with a Kyrie, Al Horford pick and roll at the top of the key, this offense is going to be plenty dangerous against teams that are not even the Knicks, teams that are actually good at basketball.
Yes, actual NBA teams. Let's run down the numbers real quick. My boy, Jason Tatum. Now, I'm so tempted to start using like the current vernacular to try and make myself seem young and say, like,
your large adult son.
My son. Yes, but the problem here is that I think that the joke is that it can't actually be your son. Problem is that Jason Tatum could actually be my son, and I think that takes away from the joke, because he's 19 and I could have had him in my mid-20s, and that's like a legit family planning son that I could have. So I think that takes away from the joke, and I shouldn't be making that joke. It just highlights how old I am, like I just did. So I'll just say that Jason Tatum had one hell of a night, and I'm completely madly in complete platonic love with our friend and savior, Jason Tatum, who played 31 minutes, shot 9 of 15, 4 of 6 from 3, and had 22 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocked shots. Our boy Jason Tatum went off tonight. And then Jaylen Brown, all he did was 23 points, 4 rebounds, a steal, a block, plus 11 for him, plus 5 for Tatum. Brown shot 56% from the field, 50% from three. Just holy shit nights. Okay, let me just get this out of the way. Jason Tatum completely blowing my doors off here. Expectation-wise, I tried to keep it very low. We saw him in Summer League. We were both in Vegas. We saw him. He looked polished. And we're thinking, it's just Summer League. We can't do anything. And we keep saying these things like, it's just this. It's just the preseason. It's just October. But it's just. And all he keeps doing is these things that completely belie his youth. That it's not that he's a supreme mega athlete that just dominates by sheer will of force. Although that opening putback dunk was pretty sick.
He did that right over Porzingis. That one came out of nowhere. He came flying across the court. I didn't know he had the kind of the ups. I was talking to the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor after the game, and I love being able to name drop like that. So I was talking to the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor at the game, and he was just talking about how much more athletic and maybe bouncier that Tatum looks. He definitely looks stronger than he did, like, if you watch a bunch of his highlights from Duke. His body just looks more filled out. But Kevin was contending that he might even just be more athletic and get, like, increased his verticality, which it's, like, with a dunk like that, I couldn't argue with him.
Yeah, that was surprising. But the thing about Tatum, and I mentioned this the other day, and I wrote about it, I published it on RedsArmy.com, the types of plays that he's making. He had another play in the post where he's mature and he is just showing these things that are they're smart basketball plays that he can use his body. He can figure out how to get certain places and find a way to score. And then today on my halftime Periscope, as I just promote all of the things that I do,
always be making content. You can never stop doing content.
Pumping that shit out there. On my halftime Periscope, I broke down a very solid defensive play from Tatum where he got switched onto Porzingis. He knew that was a crazy mismatch. He saw that he had an opportunity to switch with Al Horford, but he didn't overreact and try to get out of a mismatch right away. He hung with it long enough where he could comfortably switch with Horford. And then by doing so, he was able to kind of help down on Enes Kanter, who was spinning around and traveling like crazy in the paint. But one of his blocks was on that play against Kanter. And it's just because he was patient. He was willing to deal with the mismatch. He didn't overreact to it. He called out when to switch with Horford. It wasn't Horford that made that switch. It was Tatum that made that switch. And Tatum ended up being rewarded with the opportunity to block a shot and get the Celtics out in transition. So all of that is to say that Tatum's defense is also surprisingly advanced for the end of October, 3 weeks into his rookie season.
Yeah, rookies are not supposed to be this capable on the defensive end of the floor, and it's not something I can't say I spent the most amount of time really scouting Jason Tatum defensive segments, but just in terms of reading up on him, it's not like something you would expect. And we've seen rookies in the past, even Jaylen Brown last year, get kind of make mental mistakes and not switch on the right guy and kind of take himself off the court by making mistakes. And we haven't seen Tatum do that, and we've seen just him go beyond just with his length and getting in passing lanes. It seems like he has a knack for finding the basketball, and with his size, it's just a tremendous kind of opportunity for him or for the Celtics to have him. And it was interesting tonight to see him kind of be like the go-to scorer of the second unit. Once Kyrie and Al Horford came out, it felt like they were really trying to feed him the basketball to get him shots. And that's an interesting role for him, just because the Celtics, their second unit is going to struggle to score just because they don't have a go-to guy. And if he can play that role, that's huge for them, just because they're gonna struggle to score points this entire year without Kyrie and Horford on the floor. And if Tatum can do this against non-New York Knicks opponents, it's going to be there's like a lot of potential there. And it's just I really like the kind of the idea of him, Smart and Rozier kind of leading the bench unit, because I feel like Smart and Rozier can do a good job of probing the paint, and then Tatum, if he can just beat guys, he's beating kind of. He can shoot over the smaller people who are guarding him, and he can take bigger guys off the dribble. He feels really dynamic at this point, and that's perfect for the kind of the leader of the second unit scoring.
So I would say that if you are playing daily fantasy and you see Jason Tatum against the Knicks, you should probably draft him. If you're playing that on draft.com, you definitely should. So here's our new sponsor. Here are our new friends. Okay, it's Draft. So if you love fantasy basketball, you got to try that. I just signed up for it. Sam's been playing this for a little while, but it seems really awesome the way I see it. It's daily fantasy, but unlike the other guys. So on Draft, you play a real live snake draft with other people, just like in your season long league. So it's just for one night. So there's no team management or anything like that. You set it and forget it. And when you're done drafting, no trades, no waiver wire, none of that stuff. Draft starts every couple minutes, so you can join in like right now if you wanted, or whenever you're listening, just now, whenever. So you can play, and you can play for money. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everybody, every price range. There's no salary cap. You can draft LeBron and Anthony Davis at the same time. So just, you know, you can play with your friends all season long. So Sam and I drafted against it. We actually did this tonight. We'll talk about that later. And we'll continue talking about the game now. But I just want to let you guys know, mark this down. Join us on Draft today. You can download the Draft app, or you can play right from your computer on draft.com. Search Draft in your app store, wherever it is. You can play right away. It's quick, easy to sign up. And for a limited time, all of the new players get free entry into Draft when you make your first deposit. Okay? You just use the promo code LO Celtics. LO Celtics. You play a real money game for free just for using LO Celtics on your first deposit. So do that while you're listening to us. Download the app. Do all that stuff. Go to draft.com or search for Draft in your app store and sign up. Use the promo code LO Celtics. You'll get in. You play your first game for free. And then later we'll talk about our draft teams against one another and how we can play against each other. We'll do like a whole listener league. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. All right, let's discuss Jaylen Brown real quick, because Jaylen has another all-around game. Like you said, like he's attacking. Here's the difference between Jaylen Brown before tonight, where he scored 23 points, and tonight is that he finished 9 of 16, so 56% from the field, and just a couple of misses at the rim, but generally attacking and finishing. A very strong, aggressive Jaylen Brown, which is amazing. This is an amazing revelation for the Celtics this season.
It seems like he can really get to the rim with ease just based on his athleticism alone, and it feels like he knows that, and so that's going to be his primary goal. And you can just see it in his eyes. Like, he's looking, when he gets the basketball, his first thought is, how am I getting to the rim? And we saw him have some pretty good finishes in traffic tonight. And of course, that's going to be something that he's going to need to consistently do throughout the season. It's going to be something he needs to work on, because he did, you know, only turn 21 years old today. So happy birthday to Jaylen. But the thing about his offensive game that I think I was most impressed with tonight was just he knocked down some corner threes. I mentioned it before, but in this offense, if you can knock down the corner three, there's a tremendous value there, just with how much attention that Kyrie is going to get at the top of the key with pick and roll. And I just feel like that the corner three is going to be open for the Celtics the entire year. And if Jaylen Brown can knock it down like he did tonight, he was 3 of 6. I think 2 of those came from the corner. One was a pull-up in a transition. But if he can shoot at all, like, decent from the corner, he's going to keep on racking up these points. It was very impressive just from I felt like he got on a roll there and was more confident. He even knocked down like a nice mid-range jumper, but it just feels like getting to the rim is going to be the easy part for him. It's the outside shooting that will really kind of make him elite.
Yeah, I mean, it's the leap that he's taken is amazing, and it's early. It's four games, but the opportunity that he's had, the fact that he's hitting those shots, like you said, those corner threes, that he's attacking, these are amazing signs. Amazing signs that Jaylen Brown, from year one to year two, is making this level of an improvement. Now, I am going to preface this by saying I am not projecting him out to become a superstar. All I'm saying is superstar players make leaps like this from year to year to year in their first 3 or 4 years. Now, this may be the end of his leaping. I don't know. This may be too early. I'm just saying that this is reminiscent of the type of leaps that really good players make early in their careers. So, like, I'll just leave it at that. Like, when you go from rookie kind of like working your ass off and making certain contributions to all of a sudden you're scoring like 20 something a game and you're making these contributions, it's just something to take notice. Again, four games, 78 games left, a lot can happen, a lot can change. But when players make this much of a jump from year one to year two, if it is sustained, I'm couching the hell out of this because I want to just dive into this head first. If this is sustained, then all of a sudden Jaylen Brown becomes a much more special player than we anticipated when he was drafted. Much like if Jason Tatum sustains this level of play, then it's not out of the realm of possibility that he gets recognized throughout the season. Like, whatever happens at the All-Star game, the rookie, sophomore, whatever they call it now, like, he's going to be in it. Like, he's going to be on the radar now. So, let me just rein it back in. I would just like to say that Danny Ainge,
good at drafting.
all of the shit that people talk about Danny Ainge's drafts have all been, like, all of that 15 through 25 picks where it's all a crapshoot and people say, oh, Danny Ainge is not that great at drafting. It's amazing how good you can be at drafting when you're at the top three. And it's just a little bit easier to, like, the players you get the mid to the bottom of the draft in the NBA in the first round, so vastly different than the players you get at the top. So Danny Ainge all of a sudden looks like a genius drafter. And genius, especially with the news that Markelle Fultz had a shoulder drained and is having problems with his shoulder. And of course, we're certainly not rooting for any sort of injury. We don't want that. But the fact that it is happening and that Tatum on that same day dropped 22, 4, 2, 4 steals, 2 blocks is just, I mean, what a validation for Danny Ainge. So,
you know who's one of those people who he did draft in the mid-draft, and it's also proving him to be a bit of a genius, is Terry Rozier.
Dino, mighty, 3 sticks.
Mighty fine number 16 pick right there. And he didn't have like the flashiest game tonight, but he was just very solid again. Mm-hmm. And I really like him coming in, being the backup ball handler. 8 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. His steal ratio is through the roof right now. He knocked down 2 threes.
Team high plus 18. He was on the floor for a lot of points.
I'm like the leader of the Tito Hive.
You
and
are.
Like I feel like I need to mention he just is consistently putting up very solid performances, and you feel confident with the ball in his hands and his decision making. He's doing a really good job of getting into the paint, penetrating, probing the defense, engaging in the big, and then making the correct pass. And it's just something. I mean, I don't know if the player development people for the Celtics are this good, or it's just you really like seeing the young guys making it, like improving year to year. And so, if we're going to be talking about The last two draft picks. Let's talk about the last 3 years' draft picks. Yep. They just all of them had great games tonight, and you know, Tito Three Sticks lives forever.
Here's what I like the most in all of this. We've been recording this show now for approximately 20 minutes, minus whatever I was talking about with the ad. We did not mention that Kyrie Irving had 20 points and 7 assists and 3 rebounds, or that Al Horford had 13 points and 13 rebounds on just 8 shots and 5 assists, like in most other games. That Al Horford game, 13 and 13 plus 5 assists, that is such a beautiful Al Horford game. That is just a money Al Horford game. 29 minutes, 13 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists is just, mwah. Oh, love it. Al Horford to perfection. And then Kyrie didn't shoot particularly well, but he did kind of play, I think, he let the game kind of happen. And the game that happened was Jalen and Jason and other guys were scoring. So he only took 13 shots, and now he shot 38.5%, but still 20 points on 13 shots is still a nice, efficient game because he was 9 of 9 from the free throw line. 9 of 9 from the free throw line for Kyrie Irving is just beautiful stuff because he didn't get to the line 9 times very often last season or much in his career. That's not what he has done. So Kyrie getting to the line 9 times is just a very wonderful thing, and 7 assists on top of everything is just great. So those two storylines, Kyrie and Al Horford, should be the lead most nights, and tonight they were kind of lost. I forget who it was on Twitter that says that those two guys are like the best role players in the world right now, but they were. I would love to give credit to that tweet. It wasn't me, but that's what
they were. You should have taken credit for it yourself as your own idea.
Dude, I got enough things that I need to take credit for. I don't need to be taking credit for any other people's stuff.
This is the cutthroat internet, but you're right. Horford tonight, I think the huge thing he did in addition to is just super efficient, 13 rebounds and 13 points. He just was great on defense. He was one of the primary people who was guarding Kristaps Porzingis, who finished 3 of 14 with only 12 points. And there's just like a lot of difficult shots that Porzingis had to take. And it's the second game in a row where we've seen the star big of the other team not really have a great game. And I think Horford's defense definitely has something to do with it. I think it's also just forcing, when you do play Horford at the five, just forcing the kind of the big to run and guard on the perimeter and kind of be involved in every pick and roll. I would imagine that would eventually get tiring. So I think, and something Brad Stevens mentioned after the game, that Al Horford is up there with just his one of the better defenders in the NBA. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that because he's not, we'll see him occasionally get some blocks here and there, but he's more of like from the Kelly Olynyk school of positional defense. He's always in the right place, and it feels like he's making the right decisions, and he's the communicator back there. So big ups to Al Horford for his efforts on the defensive end tonight. And then, casually just going 5 for 8 and grabbing. There's something questions like, does he seem more like aggressive to you or more physical to you while rebounding? Maybe he's just going up against like a real frail Kristaps, who's kind of a skinny guy and easier to push around. But it does feel like this season, there's not as many times where Horford's just getting dominated on the glass.
Yeah, it feels like he's a little bit more aggressive in general, and maybe he just feels like he has to be. But, yeah, I don't know. I have to go back and look at that because, look, Al Horford has never been a tremendous rebounder. He's just because, and especially as his career has gone on, he's just moved further and further away from the basket. So I don't know. Well, I have to take a look at that because maybe he's just moving a little bit further, moving a little bit closer to the basket with a lot more pick and rolls, and he's just finding himself in position to rebound a little bit more. But I don't know. It does feel like he's a little bit more aggressive, but I can't say for sure.
And for Kyrie, solid night. It feels like he is definitely still in kind of pass first mode, and he had kind of his reputation for like not being a great distributor. I think it feels kind of undeserved, because you can definitely see moments where he has the vision, and it feels like in some cases he's too aggressive with his passing and is trying to make kind of a too fancy of passes, or too, like, he throws the ball too hard. And but he still ended up with 7 assists tonight, and there's just, it feels like he's not in get buckets mode, but there you can see glimpses of it where it's just like either a play breaks down or he gets the ball late in the shot clock, where Kyrie Irving can still just get a basket whenever he damn pleases. There's just dribble move. He can either get to the rim and do a crazy finish, which we saw a couple tonight, or just knock, hit a, like a long two, or ideally a long three over your head. So I think he's still settling in the game. And I like the fact that even up 19 late in the game with like 8 minutes left, Stevens put Kyrie and Horford back in the game, because at this point they just need reps as an offense and as a defense together. And so I saw some people on Twitter like questioning it, why are you putting them in? Like, and I guess that can be an approach with like the Hayward injury, but I just think it's smart. You want to get these guys as many real minutes together as possible. So it was, I thought it was a smart move by Brad Stevens. And eventually we're going to see Kyrie in just like FU mode, get buckets. But if you got rookies scoring 20 points a night and he can just kind of lay back and distribute, I think he's going to be happy about that as long as they're getting the win.
Yeah, I don't think he's worried about that. When you've been in the league this long, you understand that. You can get your numbers. You can go out and get your numbers. And like I said, look, he put up numbers. He scored 20 points, and he had 7 assists. I mean, those are good numbers. So he kind of laid back and was a little passive while putting up points and assists. And the shooting percentage, look, we talk about it. People on that we know on Twitter in our little sphere, we talk about it, but no one really gives a shit about a lower shooting percentage. A guy can go out there and shoot 40%, and if he's putting up 25 points a game, nobody cares. They really don't. Like, we'll talk about efficiency here, but the majority of people, they just don't care. So, but after 4 games, I don't think Kyrie Irving is worried about his numbers necessarily, because he knows that over the course of the season, he can go out and get his numbers. So this was great. He's letting everybody kind of get themselves up to speed, and if he needs to take over, he will. So I'm not worried about that stuff. Okay, so we're going to take a break from this talk for a moment. We'll come back with a couple of Twitter comments, and I'm sure Jam has a junk drawer for us. But I want to get back to this draft.com stuff that we're doing. So Sam has been using this for a while. I just signed up. So we are playing a head-to-head game. So what happened was Sam set this up on draft.com. I've downloaded the app. I've set up my whole thing, got my money in there, and it was a 5-player draft, the snake draft. So Sam went first. I got the next 2 picks. He got the next 2 picks. And then I went last, and then you got 2 more picks. So you went first. You drafted LeBron.
Yeah, it felt like the obvious choice there. He ended the night with 62 fantasy points.
Yep.
You know what? I wanted to win, and I can't let my allegiances go against my drafting strategy.
Fantasy, just look, it all goes out the window. It all goes out, especially when $5.40 is on the line.
Ooh, yeah, I know. This is big money stake. So I went with LeBron, leaving you with the next 2 picks.
My next 2 picks were Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie, again, not a bad night. I think his shooting percentage hurt me a little bit. But Anthony Davis, as we're recording, is playing now. So still, like, right now I'm losing, but I got 3 players to your 2 still left. So I went Davis and Kyrie Irving, and then you had the next 2 picks.
Then I went with Dame Lillard and Blake Griffin. See, the thing is, it's you in the head-to-head matchups, you really can end up with a stacked team. I also entered a 4-team draft with the some other people on the Locked On Network tonight. But it's just in the head-to-head, you end up with a super stacked team. So right now, it consists of LeBron James, Dame Lillard, and Blake Griffin.
Yep, and then I went McCollum, so we have backcourt teammates there, and I went with Kevin Love. So, because I thought against Chicago he might have a big game. So he did okay, but you know, whatever. And then, so those were my last. Okay, so then you had picks after that, right?
Yeah, and I see the center position is interesting in this because you have to pick two guards, two forwards, and two centers. So, like, the center position, because you can only get one of them, kind of have to use some strategy there. But I, of course, went with my main man, Al Horford. And then my sneaky pick, who I think is going to be a good fantasy player all year, is D'Angelo Russell with the Brooklyn Nets. Because you know what? The Brooklyn Nets have to score points, too. And yep. D'Angelo Russell is going to be the man to do it. So I think he's one of them solid value picks. And then you ended the draft with something that was just very perplexing.
Yeah, well, I went Yusuf Nurkic against
the Pelicans. With Boogie Cousins on the board.
Yeah, that might come back to hurt me. I might have overthought this, but my hunch was that against New Orleans' crappy backcourt, that Cousins and Davis would be just so pushed to help that they might lose sight of Nurkic and he might have a sneaky good game.
I love this. As you're saying this, just came across my Twitter from Kevin Pelton. Nurkic picks up his third foul with Ed Davis at the table. Sub for him. That's a mistake Nurkic should make or should avoid. So I'm feeling good about my team right now. I just want to go on a little spiel about draft, because you're right. I have been using this for a while. I knew the creators of the app, who are some local guys, actually grew up in Cambridge. And the thing that I like about it is that I've tried to play fantasy basketball pretty much every year for the past 6 years. And I do the draft. The draft is always fun. You get to talk a lot of shit. And then I just can't maintain a lineup whatsoever, and I forget about it. And so then I tried to do daily fantasy, and the thing that's annoying about daily fantasy is that when you're competing against someone, is like every single player has like Russell Westbrook, so you're like going against someone who also has basically the same player as you, so there's no real like advantage. The thing I like about draft is like you have that kind of sense of ownership where only that guy is getting points for you. And so like the way you win in like DraftKings or other like kind of salary cap leagues is like you have to identify the guys that no one else is picking. And this, you can actually just go with the stars, and like they're on your team and no one other's team. And it's just a fun way to do fantasy basketball. It had me up late at night. I was watching, I think I mentioned this the other night, I watched like 3.5 of the quarters of the Pelicans Lakers game, just because the guy I was playing had Lonzo and I had Boogie. And it was just like made me much more invested in basketball, even for a low stakes game. So It's a lot of fun, and you can pretty much set up any size league that you want it. So we're hoping to get a bunch of listeners in. We can do this. I think it's going to be Draft Wednesdays, right?
Yeah,
so
we're going to do this on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday show, we'll do something on this.
So we can do it before the games. You guys can either take our money, or I'll happily take your money. I'm at Raining Jam on there, and you are JJ Corrales. Yep. If you want to challenge us, by all means. Except just keep it to those low money games for now, because I am not rich.
Yeah, look.
But I will gladly draft with anyone. That's the thing, is just during the day, it's like a fun little quick like what our draft lasts, like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just a quick way to like get into it. And with the bigger size leagues, you can do more kind of deeper drafting, and those are fun as well. But yeah, go join Draft, use promo code LLCeltics, and give me your money.
Very simple. Download the Draft app or go to draft.com so you can do it online. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your tablet, wherever. Draft.com or search for the Draft app in your app store. LO Celtics is the promo code. So remember, you get free entry into the draft when you make your first deposit. Use the promo code LO Celtics. You can play a real money game for free using that promo code LO Celtics on your first deposit on Draft. Okay. Wrapping up the show, a couple of comments here from people on the Locked On Celtics Twitter account. From at Rayhan R440. After a promising stint with the starters, does Tatum return to the bench after Smart and Morris are back? I look. Personally, I'm rolling with Tatum now. He's a starter. I think he starts forever now until the day he retires. He's the starter. Obviously, that's probably not going to be the case forever. But with everybody healthy, I think you can start Kyrie and Jaylen Brown in the backcourt. I think that's good. And now the question is, do you start Smart, Tatum, and Horford? Or do you go Morris, Tatum, and Horford? Or do you go
Tatum, Horford, and
Tatum,
Baines?
I
think it's going to be really matchup-based, but I wouldn't be shocked if Marcus Morris, when he does come back, finds his way into the starting lineup. It just feels like, given his veteran status in the league and kind of as he is someone who can knock down that corner three and be more physical, I wouldn't be shocked if he started. But you know what? There's opportunities for Tatum to start right alongside him. The only reason I think Tatum might go back to the bench or go to the bench, he hasn't even been to the bench yet, is just because we saw what today with him being kind of that go-to scorer in the second unit. But you know what? The way you can manipulate rotations, I don't know if it ultimately matters. Tatum's going to be playing about 30 minutes plus a game because he's earned it at this point and he's damn talented and they're going to need him. So side note on that, I did watch Marcus Morris warm up today before practice. He looked good. Didn't do anything crazy physical. He was just shooting, but his shots were going in, you know, like an NBA player's shots should when they were practicing. So it's nice to see him actually on the floor getting in work.
Did you get a chance to talk to Aaron Baines about your big boat thing?
I did not talk to anyone in the locker room. The Celtics locker room pregame is often quite boring, and it's mostly like small talk among members of the media while players actively avoid going into the locker room because they don't want to talk to us. So I only spent a few minutes in there, and I didn't get to ask Aaron Baines about the Aussie boat.
So I got a message from somebody who, I guess right now, since it was a direct message, shall remain nameless. But it was from an Australian who said that we should actually name Aaron Baines' big boat to something like Azza's 20-foot tinny.
You got to say in the accent.
So he said the accent was not offensive. You've just got to learn to speak from the mouth. Which is how they talk.
Speak from the mouth.
Speak from the diaphragm or the throat. You got to speak from the mouth. So, how would you say that? Azza's 20-foot tinny.
There you go. That was actually pretty good. My entire Australian impression just comes from a YouTube video, Outrageous Fun. And if you're an ambitious listener, you can YouTube Outrageous Fun and you'll get some good laughs out of that. But I don't know. I feel like the accent, it needs work, and it's going to need work all year. But eventually, we got to figure out what an Azza 20-foot tinny is.
Yeah, I would hope so. So, all right, that's it for the comments there. I want to shout out to our friends on Twitter using the hashtag #RainandJays. Rifesy, Tatum and Brown leading Celtics in scoring for the first of how many times?
At least a dozen.
At least. How about every game from here on out? And a shout to at Matt Hormsby simply for tweeting out Jay doing the Zaza gif because I need that replaying on my computer in front of me all night long. All right, let's finish this up with Jam's Junk Drawer. What do you got for us, Sam?
All right, I'm a little light on the junk tonight, and I apologize for that, but let's start off. The pregame music, I know we talked about this in the offseason, but it is so garbage, like Crazy Train. We really get like I like looked up and realized that I was listening to Crazy Train and was just upset. So I don't know what we're gonna have to do to change that, but it's apparently we can't do anything because we're like danger card. You know what, it's gonna be that way. Like there's like Celtics traditions that I like and there's Celtics traditions I don't like, and that is definitely in the don't like column. All right, Enes Kanter wearing 00, I'm not for it. He had a lot of rebounds tonight, but he just feels like a kind of a joke. And he is an embarrassment to the number 00. Guard post-ups. Jaylen Brown had some early. Not as many occurred in the actual game, but it's in my notes. I'm just a huge fan of guard post-ups. Who needs three-point shots? We just got guards being more physical in the post. People aren't expecting it. I'm all for it. Ron Baker needs to get a haircut. He's just a little too gritty to have that kind of hair flopping around. He needs that Johnny Unitas haircut. because that's the type of haircut you could set your watch to, and that's what I like. Tice.
Yeah,
is
Tice had a
pleasant.
Nice game.
I refuse to describe Tice using the word nice, so I'm going to try and use as many synonyms throughout this year. So he had a real pleasant game. Tice is nice. Just the thing I was impressed about him was his ability to pass out of the pick and roll. It seemed like he did a good job of getting the ball inside and swinging it to the weak side. Didn't really show up in assists, but he had a couple hockey assists tonight. So Tice doing good things. Plus, it's just fun to see him and Kristaps beef. Because it feels like a good old war fight. I mean, not old war, old world fight. Like, you know, the Latvians and the Germans.
Sure, yeah,
I'm sure there's been a fight between them or a war between them. All right. Tino Rozier had a successful lob. That's how good Jason Tatum is that he made Terry Rozier actually connect on an alley-oop, which is something that hasn't happened,
yes.
It feels like, in the entire year.
That was...
During halftime, there was like a thing where they're doing happy birthday, and they said happy birthday, pumpkin. And apparently, I think Mark D'Amico tweeted out this. This is a joke about Jaylen. Is Jaylen's secret nickname pumpkin?
Is it?
I don't know. I was very confused. I'll have to ask Mark D'Amico about that.
If it is, I hope let me know, because I will Photoshop him into the David Pumpkins picture right away.
I think you should do that anyway. moving on, Adam Jones of 98.5 The Sports Hub is the worst and makes me mad online, and I don't like admitting that, but he just, every time he tweets, I get upset. Up 19 in the fourth quarter, Brad Stevens called a timeout after some bad play and then immediately stepped on the court and started lighting into the ref, and that's how you know Brad Stevens is a damn good basketball coach. And then last but not least, Keith Smith of Celtics Blog got owned pretty bad by Benny the Bull tonight on Twitter. And I'm all for mascots having their own Twitter account, so I retweeted it. Check it out. He said something about, I don't know much about mascots, but the Magic stuff is the best mascot.
I saw that tweet, but I didn't see her counter.
Well, Benny the Bull then quoted that tweet and said, I don't know much about mascots, and then dash Keith Smith. And it's just like, oh, man, Benny the Bull. There's a reason why he's the best mascot in the game.
Well, I got to say that's... I would love to be at a level where I got even owned by a mascot. That's,
yeah.
I don't know. Is that good or bad? I feel like that's good.
Maybe we should just start tweeting at Benny the Bull. And he already has beef with, I guess he doesn't have beef with Robin Lopez anymore because he's on the Bulls. But I don't know. I feel like we can definitely do that. We have enough clout.
Wow. I'm trying to figure out, how did Benny the Bull... But look, it seems like somebody in his mentions tagged Benny the Bull, and that Benny the Bull has now, that's how he got wind of it. I also am in Keith Smith's mentions, and I think the King Cake Baby is by far the winner in all of this. That weird, crazy, just apparition of nightmares is... above all else, just the fact that thing, if you were walking down a dark alley and you saw the King Cake Baby, that you would just say, just lay down and be like, that's it, my life's over. This thing's going to eat me. It's like turning the corner in The Walking Dead and seeing a bunch of walkers, and you're like, well, shit, I'm going to get eaten. This is it.
I'm pretty sure King Cake Baby is starring in a horror movie right now called Happy Dead Day. It's basically like the movie Groundhog Day, except instead of waking up each day, you get murdered each night. And I'm pretty sure you get murdered by the King Cake Baby.
King
so
Cake
you're right.
I think in terms of the star of that,
in terms of intimidating mascots, you're right. King Cake Baby wins, but I think in terms of classics, a guy who's been in the league forever, you got to go with Benny the Bull.
Sure, sure.
All right, that wraps it up for me in terms of junk.
That's the end of the junk, and that's the end of the show. We want to make sure that you go check out draft.com or the draft app. Remember, sign up, use the promo code LOCeltics. You'll get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. LOCeltics is the promo code. Draft.com, or go to your app store and download the draft app. We are going to do this every Wednesday. So every Wednesday show, we'll talk about we'll probably go head to head. We'll get some listener things. We'll tweet it out. So follow us on Twitter at Jam Packard, at Reds Armory _John. Do that and join in the fun, because it's going to be a lot of fun for the next few weeks at the very least. Okay, thanks everybody for listening. Subscribe. If you are not a subscriber, please subscribe. Let us know that you are loving the show by giving us 5 stars once you are a subscriber. Give us a good review. Spread the word. Tell 5 of your friends. If you're a Celtics fan and you've got 5 Celtics fan friends, tell them all about the Locked On Celtics podcast. Get them to listen. That's how you pay us. We don't ask you for money. We ask you to just spread the word. So do that for us. Let everybody know they should be listening to us. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.